Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn also in studio with me as we come back to the state of politics in America, especially with the departure of George H.W. Bush, the President of the United States, from 1988 to 1992. It is appointed once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, that goes for all of us, including the President of the United States. And President Bush's last words, at least among his last words, in his conversation with James Baker, was, "Heaven, that is where I want to go." And accolades are pouring out almost everywhere for the accomplishments of George H.W. Bush, but we as Christians must not embrace sentimentalities. The story of the President George H.W. Bush is representative of a nation, Steve. It demonstrates the weakness of conservatism. And so we don't just point to an individual, but we see that this individual is representative of so much of the nation. And I think it's important for us to review his accomplishments over his career as a congressman, as a vice president, and president of the United States.
Yeah, and one of the things we have to always be aware of is that the truth always trumps the party. Truth trumps conservatism, truth trumps liberalism, truth trumps libertarianism and everything else. And if your conservatism comes into conflict with truth, you need to side with the truth, because the truth is what sets you free.
That's right. And we want to present the truth as best as we can on this edition of the program, and at the same time acknowledge that everybody wants to go to heaven, or almost everybody wants to go to heaven. And we're going to talk about what it is to go to heaven. What is the Christian faith, and how are we received into heaven? We're going to talk about the importance of faith and repentance as constituting true conversion in a Christian's life. And so much of the discussion on George H.W. Bush centers around his conservatism, his policies, but more importantly, what was his faith, and did he represent repentance in his life? Now, his principal accomplishments: he served as one of the most regulatory presidents in modern history, signed the Clean Air Act, the Americans with Disabilities Act. He introduced America to a war somewhere in the Persian Gulf for some reason or other. He was an advocate of what he liked to call the New World Order. He raised taxes after he had promised no new taxes. Do you remember that?
Read my lips.
No new taxes. He also continued funding Planned Parenthood and other Title X programs. We'll talk about that in just a moment. His philosophy of life, as reported by Gary Scott Smith in his book, Religion in the Oval Office, was be strong, be kind, be generous. Now, President George H.W. Bush was elected at the high point of evangelical activism in the 1980s. It was pretty much the high point. Now, burnout, flame out, occurred later in the 1990s for this rather insipid Christian coalition political activism program. But he was elected by some 81% of the evangelical vote in America, and he threw a few bones to the evangelicals during his presidency in gratitude. Now, there has been some discussion over whether President George H.W. Bush led evangelical activism, or whether he simply was led by evangelical activists and threw them a few bones in the process. In other words, did the evangelical activists force a little bit of an evangelical conservatism upon the presidency in the late 1980s, or did President H.W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, lead the conservatism in terms of his personal repentance and his personal advocacy for Christian principles? So that question is there. However, it appears that the Christian coalition, the moral majority, had already gained significant ground in the 1980s during the Reagan administration, and they peaked in their power and their influence upon the presidency by the late 1980s. Now, I did not vote for President George H.W. Bush because he took exceptions on the slaughter of babies conceived in rape and incest, and I felt that was an undermining of the basic principle. In other words, I want to be sure that there is at least a president who, on the very most important issue of the day, is principled, and so I voted for Ron Paul, who took the position that the abortion of a child, even conceived in rape and incest, would have been an immoral act. So that was according to the Christian Coalition Voters Guide of 1988. And for that reason, I took issue with the Republican nomination and did not vote for George H.W. Bush in 1988. Well, President George H.W. Bush has gone to meet his maker. It is appointed once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. Friends, these are sober words for all of us today as we reflect on the importance of our life, the importance of the salvation we have in Jesus Christ, and the vital importance of being ready for the judgment day at the end. We'll be back with more in just a moment on George H.W. Bush. The question today, RIP or not, is he resting in peace or not? That next on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio today. As we come back to the death of the president of the United States who served from 1988 to 1992, George H.W. Bush. His last words, James Baker, who I believe was his Secretary of State in that time, he's told James Baker, "Heaven, that is where I want to go." So his last words, or some of his last words, referenced his desire to go to heaven. It seems to me there wasn't quite the confidence that he was going there. It wasn't quite the hope that he would be there, but he wanted to go there.
Yeah, I was talking to you during the break. It's like, is that something that you would say if you're referring to heaven, that that's where I want to go? My statement would be, heaven, that's where I'm going. You know, where are you going? I'm going to be with Jesus.
Of course, in the ultimate sense, we don't know who's going to be in heaven and who's not going to be in heaven. We're not the judge of the earth. Indeed, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will be the judge at the final judgment. However, we need to take a look at the life of the president. Christians are rushing in to remind us that President George H.W. Bush was a Christian and a wonderful president. And I'm not sure why, except that it seems like it is the patriotic thing to step forward and endorse any Republican, any conservative, and anybody who attended church, and he was a faithful attendee of his Episcopalian church, which is one of the most liberal denominations in America. And thus far, I don't believe that church in Houston has taken issue with the Episcopalian denomination that has embraced homosexual marriage and has for at least a decade. But Christians are rushing in to remind us that President George H.W. Bush was a Christian. And I think we need to be careful that our patriotic zeal does not quench true Christian discernment. Some say that he got better as the days went by. But President George H.W. Bush was the representative of an old formalistic Christianity. I don't believe we saw repentance in his life, especially on the issue of homosexuality. You know, he opposed homosexual marriage in the 1990s, but in 2013, he approved of homosexual marriage by serving as the official signatory witness in a homosexual wedding up in Maine. That occurred in 2013. Then he told his biographer, John Meekum, in 2015, people should be able to do what they want to do without discrimination when it comes to marriage or homosexual marriage. People have a right to be happy. I guess you could say I have mellowed. So, in other words, those who have stepped forward and have argued vociferously that George H.W. Bush has shifted direction over the years and his life represents repentance, actually what we find, I think, over the years is just the opposite, especially when it comes to the issue of homosexuality. So, assuming that homosexuality represents the autonomous zeitgeist of the day, that is, the idea that we are in total rebellion against God's law, we are shaking a fist in God's face, and that is best represented by the homosexual issue, then we have to say that President George H.W. Bush joined the forces of those who were taking a radical stance against Christ, against his kingdom, and against his law. And he represented a support of this sinful activity, this egregious, abominable sinful activity as defined by God's law and by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we as Christians need to be very careful. And those who step forward and say, here's a man who represented repentance through his career, and yet on this salient issue, this very important hot button issue of the day, he refused to take the right stance and join the zeitgeist and oppose Christ at this point. It seems to me that those who are endorsing his position are taking a hard left away from the Word of God and the truths of God's Word. So we need to be careful. Now, it's possible somewhere between 2015 and 2018, the day he died, he may have repented of his sin and truly embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's possible. But, you know, by their fruits you shall know them. As we examine the fruits of this highly public figure, we need to be ever so careful not to endorse a man who represented an increasingly rebellious and autonomous perspective when it came to the laws of God. And so, therefore, I'm very hesitant about the Christians and these conservative commentators who have stepped forward and embraced the policies and the political positions of George H.W. Bush in his later years.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes whether a lot of political expedience comes into play here, because I remember Tipper and Al Gore were very pro-life early on in their political career, but when it became politically expedient to be pro-choice or pro-abort, that's where they went in order to get votes. Now, he wasn't running for office or anything at that time. However, leaving a legacy of tolerance and things like that. Political figures want to be seen as favorable among the people. And I wonder how much that had to play into it as well. But again, truth trumps political expedience.
And I think the parable of the sower plays in here. There are those seeds that are sown in the thorny places, Steve. And when tribulation persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he may have received that word among the thorns, but it's the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the popularity of the world that choke the word. He becomes unfruitful. And so those that are met with the temptations, the persecutions of the world, oftentimes join the zeitgeist, continue to endorse what the zeitgeist says because they want to avoid any kind of persecution that might come politically or otherwise. And so, again, my friends, it's important to examine a man's life, as we should examine our own lives. But this, a public life, and those who have stepped forward and engaged in a public endorsement of a man who increasingly embraced the sin of homosexuality through the 2000s, after being a little coolish on homosexual marriage in the 1990s, that's an indication this is a man who's going the wrong direction, not the right direction when it comes to repenting and embracing the word of God against the words of the world. Remember also, there are certain politicians who exhibited more support for Planned Parenthood, especially for the federal funding of Planned Parenthood, than anybody else, especially at the beginning. And it was Prescott Bush, George H.W. Bush's father, whose fundraising for Planned Parenthood was so significant, it cost him the 1950 race for U.S. Senate in a heavily Catholic state of Connecticut. So do remember that it was Prescott Bush at the very forefront of pushing for Planned Parenthood funding in the 1950s. And ironically enough, in what is now a liberal state of Connecticut, Prescott Bush lost his race over the issue that he was advocating the funding of Planned Parenthood in the 1950s. It was over that issue he lost the Senate race. And also George H.W. Bush will be remembered forever, at least for many, many years, for championing the Title X funding in his 1970 legislation. And do remember, there was no Title X funding of organizations that provided abortifacients and at points abortion. Of course, abortion funding on the part of Planned Parenthood was illegitimized by the Hyde Amendment in 1977. But between 1970 and 1977, there was no distinction. And so George H.W. Bush at the forefront of gaining federal funding for Planned Parenthood. And of course, you know, we are arguing against the funding of Planned Parenthood, especially as we've seen the egregious crimes of this organization over the last 5 to 6 years, the Republicans unable to push back the funding of Planned Parenthood on a part of the federal government. But it was George H.W. Bush who was at the beginning fighting hard, fighting tooth and nail to get Title X funding to support Planned Parenthood so that taxpayers would be forced to support Planned Parenthood to the tune of hundreds of millions, to the tune of billions of dollars over the subsequent 40 years. It was his bill to fund Planned Parenthood from 1970 to the present, approved by the 1970 House of Representatives. He told the Congress on the floor in 1970 as he fought for money to provide for abortifacients and even abortion for children conceived by women around America. He told the Congress on the floor, "We need to eliminate the needless suffering of unwanted children and overburdened parents." Let me say that one more time. These were the words of George H.W. Bush in 1970, friends. This is the legacy. This is probably the most powerful legacy that anybody has exerted in support of abortion, the funding of organizations that conduct abortions and distribute abortifacients. This is probably the most significant legislation in the history of this country to support abortion and abortifacient, occurred in 1970 with the George H.W. Bush legislation that initiated Title X funding. And his words again on the floor of Congress, "We need to eliminate the needless suffering of unwanted children and overburdened parents." This initiative has provided federal funding for abortifacients abortions through Planned Parenthood and at least 80 other providers in 4,500 clinics around the United States for 48 years. 14% of the clinics are operated by Planned Parenthood. HHS.org reports total Title X funding since 1971 to the tune of $9 billion. And friends, think about the blood money. Think about the number of children aborted by the abortifacients, aborted by surgical abortions at the hands of Planned Parenthood, who have received upwards of $500 million per year via Title X and other federal funding programs. But it was George H.W. Bush who initiated the funding. Now, people will come back, Steve, and say, yeah, but. By the time he was president of the United States, he backed off of it. No. Actually, he increased Title X funding by 25% during his administration, while President Reagan had decreased Title X funding by 16% during his administrative reign. And so, again, friends, if George H.W. Bush increased Title X funding by 25% during his administration, that's not repentance. That's supporting Planned Parenthood even more than ever between 1988 and 1993. So, again, my friends, repentance is a change of mind which yields a shift of direction. And we don't see that. We don't see that with George H.W. Bush during his administration increased Title X funding by some 25% after his predecessor decreased Title X funding by 16%. Now, again, I know it's it's a lot of fun to embrace kind of a sentimental view of your party or a sentimental view of certain characters in history as representing your nation. And I know you love your nation. And sometimes we'll say our nation right or wrong. But no. We have to be sure that the truth predominates. The facts must predominate. Was this a representation of real repentance, especially when it came to the hot button test issues of the day when it comes back to the issues of God's law and God's will and the way that God would have us treat the moral issues of the day? Did he take the right direction on this? George H.W. Bush did not repent of his enthusiastic funding of Planned Parenthood to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. He actually increased the funding with his budgets, and he did not repent on the issue of homosexual marriage. Now, some will say the Jezebel factor might have played in on this one, because Laura Bush, that is the wife of George W. Bush, and Barbara Bush, who was the wife of President George H.W. Bush, both Laura Bush and Barbara Bush were strongly pro-abortion and pro-homosexual, more so than their husbands.
That's interesting.
And they took public stances in favor of homosexual marriage and abortion. So there is the Jezebel factor that plays in. And when I say Jezebel, and that was the wife of King Ahab in the Old Testament, who you remember had pretty significant influence upon her husband.
Yeah.
Well, Barbara Bush in her memoir insisted that abortion, quote, should be allowed in the first trimester. Laura Bush made no secret of her views in favor of a woman's right to abortion as well. She says, I don't think Roe v. Wade should be overturned. That was the day before her husband became president of the United States. That's Laura Bush. And she was also a vocal, supportive advocate of homosexuality and homosexual marriage as well. And now, of course, George W. Bush's daughter, Barbara Pierce Bush, is speaking at Planned Parenthood fundraisers. We have something like four generations of Bush supporters of Planned Parenthood. It is a heritage. It is a legacy, and one of the saddest legacies in the history of this country.
So how do you get from, in our lives, I want to go to heaven, to I am going to heaven?
Well, repent and believe are the two most important words that we should leave our audience with today. Whether George H.W. Bush repented of his sins and really trusted in Jesus between 2015 and 2018, I don't know. So at the end of the day, we really don't know whether George H.W. Bush really did repent of his sins and his rebellion against the laws of God. So the bottom line is, we don't know if he went to heaven or not. And I think somebody once said there will be a lot of surprises on Judgment Day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did I not do this? Did I not do that? And I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That is two things. I didn't have a relationship with you, and you are a worker of lawlessness. That is, you ignored my commandments. You had ignored my laws. You did all of this stuff. You did all of these works. You even did some miracles. But at the end of the day, you weren't paying attention to my laws. And when I said something about homosexuality in 1 Corinthians 6, you ignored me. And when I said something about women in office, in the church office, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 3, you ignored me. You kept ignoring me. Whenever I said something about an important ethical issue of the day, you just ignored me. You ignored my laws. You weren't interested in my laws. And at the end of the day, I think we have to say that Christians will have a living hope, as Peter speaks of in 1 Peter 1. I don't think we should say on our deathbed, I want to go to heaven. I think we should say, I'm planning on going to heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm hoping in heaven because Jesus has promised it to me, and I trust in him. So I think that should be our testimony on our deathbed. 1 Peter 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. That is a hope that is alive within us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So it's a living hope for all of that. Steve, there ought to be a hope, and there should be some indication of a hope in the words of a president of the United States on his deathbed. And you must be regenerated to go to heaven, which means there must be a new hope, a living hope, an alive hope, a new life within you. You must repent or you will perish, as Jesus said. There must be a pattern of abandoning the old ways in your thinking, and this should work its way into your life, into fruits of repentance as well. That is, at one time, you didn't think it mattered whether or not somebody got married who happened to be members of the same sex. You didn't think it mattered that much. But now you think it matters because there's a holy God in the heavens who has laid out this law. And so you realize that you were playing fast and loose with the laws of God when you were a congressman, when you were president of the United States. You weren't paying attention to it. But now the laws of God, the word of God, is even more significant. And so you've got a different way of thinking about these things, which work its way into your life. And then you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I love the way the Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it. Repentance is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin, turns from his sin unto God with full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience. So that's it. That's it. That's what it is. It's realizing the sense of our own sin, turning away from that sin, turning to God with full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience. All right, as we wrap up this edition of the program, friends, I realize that other Christian commentators may disagree with what we've said on this program. They may have a prettier picture of certain politicians, but in fact, most Christian commentators probably do disagree with us, but we should not whitewash history, folks. We need to insist on the facts, insist on the truth, the good, the bad, the ugly, in ourselves, as well as in our history. We try to present ourselves, our politicians, as better than we really are. And indeed, I think we need to be very, very cautious. We need to be truthful, most of all truthful, and we ought to compare. We need to compare ourselves, our perspectives, our lives, and the life of our country with the holy law of God as the standard. And although it may be politically incorrect, we have produced a 500-year, 1,000-page history of the United States, including the life of George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Ronald Reagan and others, and there will be some surprises as you read about the political positions taken by Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and others. And so if you want the inside scoop, and if you want to really search out the true quotes, the real political positions of those who have led this country over the last number of hundreds of years, get a copy of America in God's Providence. And we tell the story as best as we can. And then you make a decision, compare what they say and what they do with the holy law of God, with the word of God, which is presented on almost every page in this book. And then you make the decision. America in God's Providence tells the story of America, even during the administration of George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Donald Trump. The book is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.